This is part one or part two. We don't know which order this is going in.
Depends on your listening order.
But regardless, this is the black house in the graphic that you'll see with this. I am the black house. And
it'll all make sense later, I promise.
It will, because while Leah was in my home state of New York, I was in my her hometown of Danville.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
Of Danville, Virginia, on the border of North Carolina.
That's where I was born.
And so I decided, whether against my better judgment or not, to give Blue Ridge one more try. Because as you probably have heard from my last episode and the how I drug that festival through the mud, into the water, into 6 feet under the ground and buried them.
Took it out back and shot it.
I old Yeller that son of a bitch. Let me tell you, like, I was pissed. You know, after that, I was like, it's under new management. It's DWP. Let's just see. You know, sometimes you got to be an optimist. And I'll save my reaction for the pros and the cons afterwards. I just want to talk about the actual event. So we originally were going to go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We didn't go Sunday, but not for reasons you think. I'll get more into that later. But let me just take you day by day real quick. So we arrived Friday. It is at Virginia International Raceway is where they held it this year, which was a way better location for them.
Actually
by a
made
long
to hold
shot.
Events.
Yes, actually made to hold events, had the right capacity and a right layout for it for the most part. So it was such a good location. You did have to park, though, again, 4 miles away from the venue in like these fairgrounds, which was kind of annoying. But I kind of also get it.
Where else are you going to put 20,000 cars?
Yeah, exactly. So Josh, I'm going to start this off. Josh was giving me crap at the beginning of this today as I was getting ready for this, because he said that we never cover songs on our recaps. We just cover. Listen, I cover the emotions and what I've learned, because that's the kind of person I am. If you want to listen to their music, by all means, go for it. But for the Josh Tarpleys in the world, it's called setlist.fm. If you want to know the songs that were covered, go look at setlist.fm. I guarantee you someone uploaded their set within 30 seconds after they were done. That is how the world works. So instead, I'm going to start my day by describing the pretzel I ate to piss off Josh. As soon as I got there, I was hungry. I was famished. I got a Bavarian pretzel that was fried with cheese, and it was very good. It was a good way to start
food
the
question
show.
Because I did hear that a whole pizza cost $66.
This is at one venue, yes.
Okay.
At one vendor, I should say, yes.
The fuck?
Yeah, but there was ones that were like 30. Okay. Which isn't the best, but isn't the greatest. That's more comparable. I mean, there was still like, you were not going to get a meal outside of like $15.
Considering I paid $22 for a burger in New York.
Yeah, it's festival cost. You just kind of get used to it. My pretzel, though, was huge. $10, which is not that bad.
It's like,
I mean, it's huge. It was a full meal.
Yeah.
So that was worth it. But anyway, I mean, the first day, I got to see one of my two favorite bands, He Is Legend and Under Oath. For the first time, I was on the railing for Under Oath.
How did it feel?
As Leah said, oh, it was amazing. Like, literally, so when the set started, one, you're just right there with the band. So it's a really good feeling because you get the energy from stage. And then Chris, who plays like the keyboard and synth, he threw his water bottle. We caught it, or I think the guy next to us caught it and gave it to us, and there was still water in it, and I was hot, so I'm dumping Chris's water on my head, and it was just such an amazing experience. Anyway, not to sound creepy, but I loved it. I loved being up front. Spencer always comes down into the crowd too, and he was like right there, so it was cool to be like a part of that experience. So I absolutely loved that. And then as far as for like the bands we saw, just to highlight some, I saw 30 bands that day.
That's a lot.
I'm not even kidding you. I saw, well, I probably, no, I saw about 20 to 30 bands in that one day because a lot of their sets bleed over. Mm-hmm. So like while I was waiting for Under Oath, the set right next to me was Seven Dust. So I watched all Seven Dusts, which I have to give a shout out on my story. So the way that Blue Ridge is laid out is you can do this premium VIP, which gets you like right up front, like where the stage actually is, not like where the railing is. And my boy, I don't know who he is, he's just my boy, grabs one of the inflatable sofas and he blew up his inflatable sofa before Seven Dust, rolls it up and lays right in front of the screen for Seven Dust. Lays right, he can literally watch the band if he wants to. He stares at the screen and he is just relaxing watching Seven Dust on the screen, and I just got to give it to him. You know, that's a good way to use your premier VIP.
Yes.
It's a fantastic joke. It was great. It was on my story. But yeah, you would see bands like Seven Dust, and there'd be like, we saw a band called Point North who's really good, and then a band before them played. And so you kind of just naturally hear all these bands, and they're only about like 25 minute sets, unless it's one of the bigger bands, it's like an hour. Mm-hmm. And then the headliner is like an hour and a half. So anyway, so I also got to see A Day to Remember played that day, which I'm going to go back to in a second. Gojira, which is a French metal band. They are so good. It was so good to see them live. Bad Flower played that day and they were really good. And then it closed with Mudvayne. Now, the lead singer does not have it anymore. Like, we've made jokes, like me and Leah, that like, you know, with COVID, it's interesting how like you just walk a road and all of a sudden you're winded. It's a very strange feeling because it's like, am I out of this much shape? And it's like, no, literally, it's just COVID somehow affects your lungs that way. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so my dude Mudvayne, I don't know if he was recovering from COVID, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but the dude jumped down 2 feet, okay? 2 feet off the stage. He was winded the rest of the song. My dude needs to work on his breathing as far as for like his diaphragm and breathing from it, because he was out of practice. You could see. But anyway, what was interesting is at festivals, and I've only been to one that I can attest to, but bands are having to get more diligent about stopping shows to keep mosh pits.
Oh.
Especially after Astroworld.
Oh, yeah.
With Travis Scott. So some sets were stopping 3 times to let medical personnel come in.
Jeez.
Like, that's how bad it was getting. And it's just really, honestly, it's just normal moshing. Like, I wouldn't say, like, it's like, oh, this is a super violent crowd. It's actually not that. There's just a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, normal moshing, but, like, it's so easy to get, like, trampled under. And so, yeah, they had to, like, they would have to stop shows, and there'd be, like, on the screen, this, like, let medical professionals through, there's an emergency or something like that. So... That happened a lot, especially during, like, as we got close to the headliner of the night, mm-hmm. kept getting on and on. So then we get to A Day to Remember, who was playing right before Mudvayne. And they also had moments where, like, they had to stop the show, let, you know, the medical professionals come and grab people. So explain to me how they watch that happen. And then literally the next song, they say, all right, we're going to do something called where it's crowd surfing, but you surf the crowd surfer. So literally you have one person crowd surfing and then another person climbs on top and surfs that person. And I was like
a surfboard.
And here we are. Yes. Like a surfboard.
No.
So here we are literally just like having medical professionals. And then they start this. Everyone was fine. But I'm just like, where does that show good judgment?
That's a great way to have someone's head get cracked open.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Also, a quick note. Like Leah said, there were weed clouds everywhere. I'm pretty sure I got secondhand high. There's just no way.
Yeah, there's no way.
No way. It was everywhere. So that was day one. I would say day one was excellent. Excellent. And I mean from a shuttle perspective too, because they had to shuttle, like, I got on the shuttle to the event. We got there super early. So we got in within 10 minutes, which was good. But leaving, because there's 40,000 people. There's a lot of people. I mean, not all of them. A lot of them were camping, but there's even 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. They got to get out of there. And we were on a bus within and back at the place within an hour. And I would say that's reasonable for the amount of people. Yeah. That's day one. Day two, still good. My favorite band I saw was Thrice, who I have been waiting to see for about 15 years, maybe a little bit more. So actually seeing them was such a great experience for me. Like just being able to like, this is the band that has been in my childhood. Mm-hmm. Like literally I've been listening probably from sixth grade, maybe a little bit before, like the band that my brother passed down onto me. And they played one of my favorite songs, The Earth Will Shake. And I was so glad they dug that out because that's an older song. But before them, you know, I realized a critical mistake. Like I said, the first day I noticed that people were bringing their inflatable sofas, I was going to bring mine. I was afraid it was going to get like taken away. Everyone had them. So I brought them that day. And let me tell you, game changer. I will never do a festival without this thing ever again. So we get there the first day. And like, I literally, like, I knew I was going to go up front for Thrice. And that was it. Like, I was going to listen to other music, of course. But I literally just set up at one stage called the URW, set up my little inflatable sofa and listened to other bands. I fell asleep. I took a nap. It was great. I took a nap between Chelsea Grin and Power Man 5000, which I learned the lead singer of Power Man 5000 is the younger brother of Rob Zombie. I had no clue.
Interesting.
So that was incredible. That was the first part of the day. And then around three, it starts raining.
Oh, yeah.
It was nasty. Doesn't stop raining. And I was just soaked. Like, I had this. For some reason, we had like a little umbrella, which I lost. And I got these little emergency ponchos, but we did not plan. Like, that's why I thought my cough was just cough and not COVID. But it could have been, I got COVID that way. Who knows? When the rain started, though, I mean, it was just like, it didn't necessarily go off the rails, but like, that's when like some of the little, not a ton, but a little bit of hinges started showing, mainly around this hill. So there is this hill.
I saw that once. This hill.
Yes. So when you enter Blue Ridge, you have the two main stages, which is Monster and Zine. I don't know what it is. And then as you keep walking, there's a smaller stage called Heart Support. And then you go down this hill, and this is a steep motherfucking hill. And they had to put like straw down, because you will easily slip it because it's mud directly under it. And so imagine that with 10,000 people. Yes, there's straw, but then it starts raining. Do you know what happens to straw when it gets wet? It starts taking on what's under it. So luckily, we stayed down there for quite a bit of the day. For those who are desperately wondering, I did try island noodles and they were okay. They were fine. They were good because it had fresh veggies in it. And it was a nice break from everything fried.
Yeah.
Very nice break. But we did get to go see, like, we did walk it up a couple times before the rain started to go see Ice Nine Kills, which was very good live, very theatrical. Like, they kind of reenact a bunch of, like, horror movie scenes, which was really cool to see.
Interesting.
But then, for the most part, we were down there. Guar played. It was gimmicky. Like, it was kind of just goofy until they made this one political joke. And it's not even necessarily, I actually, like, agree with their position on the joke, but I don't like what they did to bring the, it was.
The cheap shot.
I'm not going to talk. It was more than a cheap shot, honestly. It kind of, like, me as a feminist could not stand by the joke. You know what I mean? Because they really were playing a lot with like Supreme Court justices and things like that. And I just did not like the place they took it to as a woman, where they went with it. So that really ruined it for me. And I was just kind of like, all right, that joke, no, absolutely not. Like it ruined the whole set for me. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I can move past it. And then Tenacious D played. Guys, when I tell you that I did not know it was a lifelong dream to see Jack Black and Kyle Gass on stage, until that very moment. This was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And it is a show, like you were saying with Harry, that I have been thinking about. And I'm like, I need to go see them again. They need to perform again. It was theatrical. Like, of course, it's Jack Black. And Kyle Gass is a comedian, too. He's from Elf, for anyone wondering. He's one of the ones to say, picture this. It was just so well done. And I grew up with those songs. So, like, just seeing, like, both of them on stage together was so, like wonderstruck for me. And Jack Black's voice is literally on pitch. Like, what you hear is actually him. There's no editing. That man's voice, I don't understand.
That makes sense, though.
And he's old. He's getting old. He's getting gray. He is. And he still sounds like he's 20 years old.
He's getting very
gray. I do not get it. But anyway, going back to this hill, because after Tenacious D, it's muddy. It's rainy. Like I said, the straw has dissipated and become mud. And everyone is heading up to the headliner, which is Slipknot. So now you have 5,000 people, maybe more, heading up this hill. And it turns into a literal shit show. People are slipping. Like, it is not... Everyone's walking at a slow pace. And I was, like, afraid for some people. Like, I was afraid for me because I have a bad hip. So I had to be very careful walking on those things. Not hip. I'm sorry. It's back. But I actually, like, went off to the side and, like, kind of walked as much on grass. But everyone, and this is why I love festivals. This is why I love the human experience so much. Everyone starts chanting, fuck this hill, fuck this hill, fuck this hill. Everybody starts chanting. And as soon as everyone gets over it, fuck that hill, fuck that hill.
I love that.
It was amazing. But then we get to the closer of the night, which was Slipknot. And I have a confession. I have dogged on Slipknot on this podcast.
You have.
And I was wrong. I was actually wrong.
No.
I'm sorry, Leah. I was wrong. They're so good live. I was so impressed. No, Leah. It is metal Cirque du Soleil. I'm not even fucking kidding you. Metal Cirque du Soleil. It was so good live. I was like amazed. Now, am I going to go buy one of the S t-shirts? No. Do I listen to them on the regular? No. Is that going to change? Probably not. But I was so impressed by Corey Taylor, the front man, because he loved every single person in there. Like, he would actually make them shine the lights on the audience. And he says, I want to see my family.
Aww.
Like, he loved every single person in that room. And even when, you know, they had to stop, you know, some people, like in Ice Nine Kills, while good, I do have to say, and I can understand how frustrating it is as an artist. They had to stop once, and you could tell how mad the lead singer was that they had to stop. I get it, but also there's someone's life is in danger. Like,
also, you should expect that at a festival. Like, I feel like it's very common.
Right. And so, but Corey Taylor was like, guys, we're not starting until I see that that person is good. Like, he actually cared about each and every single person that was there. And that is really impressive. Like, he was such a great showman. And you can tell he's a solid individual. And I don't know, something like that speaks to me in volumes. And their music actually comes better to life live.
They're like Kiss. They just...
Exactly.
It's a live show thing.
That's exactly it. So, after Slipknot, which was the largest crowd I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm telling you, it was all on this hill. That whole hill was taken up. Huge ass hill.
Fuck that hill.
Fuck that hill. Exactly. And then we start heading home. And apparently, one of the shuttle companies quit.
Oh, shit.
This led to us, I'm not even kidding you. Oh, I texted you. 3 hours for a bus. I didn't get on a bus until 2:35 a.m.
That's insane.
I didn't get home until 4 a.m. that day.
That's insane.
Like, it was insane. So that is the one area. Now, they didn't know the shuttle company's going to quit. Apparently, it was a breach of contract on the shuttle company's end, not Blue Ridge. So they got to do the best they can, but they were doing loading one bus at a time. One bus at a time. And yes, they had a blue lot and an orange lot, but still, like, it took so long. Like, that part was really hard. Luckily, I had a chair with me, because if I had to stand through that, my back, I would have probably been out for a couple days.
I would have just been
sitting
around.
I know it's, well, it kind of hurts my, it can hurt my back certain ways, but I know it's not their fault, but still, like, that part was really hard to stomach. So that was the hardest part of Blue Ridge. But anyway, is it good? Blue Ridge was way better this year.
That's good.
Than it was in previous years. I actually had an amazing time. The only reason I didn't go Sunday was because with the rain, it was forecasted to rain again. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't want to wait in the shuttles again in the rain. Like, one day of that is enough. So that was our deciding factor, unfortunately. But I was really impressed this year. They knocked it out of the park.
Good.
There's still some improvements, but, you know, honestly, now they're at the level where all festivals have issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's a festival. It's not going to be perfect.
It will never be perfect. And there's just some people online that can never be satisfied. Like, I'm sorry, like, big festivals like this, there are going to be hiccups.
Yeah, you just...
That is to be expected.
Literally can't put that many people in a spot and not have something go wrong.
Yeah. But overall, amazing time. Absolutely incredible. I am excited to go back next year. Actually, me and a couple friends, we are actually already planning on camping, because to avoid the shuttle situation, They also introduced a quiet zone and family zone, which I'm really excited about, because while I'm young, kind of, I don't want to be woken up by drunk people at 2 a.m. It's not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So there's a curfew, a strict curfew of 12 a.m.
Nice.
Which I'm very excited about. So we'll be able to get some rest. So we're really looking forward to that. But I think if you camp and do Blue Ridge, it would just be an absolute incredible time. And even I had a great time. The biggest hit was the shuttles. And the small dint was that hill, because that was a pretty there. You could easily slip going both down and up. And that's harder from an ADA perspective, for sure. But even in general, just for injury's sake, that's a little harder pill to swallow. I know you can't help the terrain, but, you know, I hope they start thinking of solutions there for next year. But it's not enough to make me say I'm never going to come back here again, you know. So, yeah, that was Blue Ridge. I enjoyed it.
Much better than last year.
Way better. Way better. And I'm glad they learned from their mistakes for the most part. I am happy to see change.
Now, if they can just get that venue rolling, we'll be on to something.
Right?
I was thinking about that today. I'm like, they said it would be open last fall. It is and now this fall. And we have no update. But that's conversation.
It's what it is.
For another time. I guess next in our upcoming recaps is I finally get to see Colby Calais on the 11th of October. It was postponed from February, so February.
And
that sounded funny.
I'm going to go see Ginger with POD in December. So I got a little bit until the show, but
I have
looking forward to it.
Quite a few coming up, but that's the next one that I've had tickets for almost a year because it got postponed. Excited about that one. Very different vibe. Nice. It's a seated show. It's going to be very weird, but excited about it.
Interesting.
For the nostalgia.
Yes.
I don't know what the hell my dogs are barking at, but...
That's okay.
Hopefully they're not... You can't hear them too much.
I'm going to go to have a cough drop and edit all the coughs I just had. You're probably hearing this. You're not going to hear any coughs. You're going to be like, she's absolutely fine. Negative. I coughed so much that I literally looked at Leah and said, we may have to record this another day. But I powered through for you.
Yes. We're bringing you this content.
Yes. So now it's cough drop time, editing time, and Splatoon 3 time.
I have to go watch She-Hulk before I go talk to our friends about it in an hour and a half.
Fun. Is it going to be live?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, I probably shouldn't watch because I haven't started. Anyway.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin this. Goodbye.
No. Goodbye. Sorry. This is the first time I've probably talked as much. Let me get some water.
That's Gatorade.
Stop with the semantics.